Well, thank the Lord tonight for salvation. I find it enjoyable. And I find it a blessing to know God and to know His people, to know His love. Singing that song, the different songs tonight, I reflect a lot in my personal thinking as I'm just by myself or whatever, about how good God's been to me. I suppose of all people, I know myself better than anyone else does. And I know who I am today, pretty much. And I know who I was. And I also know that I can reflect back in my life, maybe to 5 years old or so, somewhere back in there. And I can reflect back on people that I've known. And I was telling someone recently, I've known some awful good people. And I've known a lot of good people that's been awful good to me. And I reflect on that quite often, about how wonderful the Lord's been to me. I cannot tell you in any way that I deserve it. But the Lord has been good to me. And I thank Him for that. Had a little thought come to me this afternoon. Maybe we could discuss it a little bit. The lights that you see here in this building that's on, the lights you see on a street light or a car light or the light you may have on your desk, the light that emits from the sun or the stars or the light that is reflected from the moon, something you can't put it in a box. You can't capture it. You can't save it up. The light that we see and light we do not see is energy. It comes from some type of power source, some type of resistance, a lot of times in incandescent bulbs anyway. But light is an essential ingredient to life itself. And where there is absence of light totally, I know there are a few cases down in caves or something like that, but where there is no light, there's no life. And there's a lot of controversies in the world today about how all this that we see called the world and the earth and the universe and plankton and amoebas and animals and humans came from. I'm like Sister Lewis in that song, and I've settled the question myself. But it is a controversy. It is a controversy. But I am so thankful that there is a power and there is an authority. And that authority is light. And that authority is energy. And that authority has the ability to give life and create life and fashion things out of something that didn't even exist. I'm thankful for the light of this world. I'm thankful for God the Father. In the beginning, it said in Genesis, God created the heaven and the earth. I remember Brother Fuller testified or Brother Salmon was testifying. Either case, it was concerning Brother Fuller, and in either case, Brother Fuller was present. And he said that when Brother Fuller was in college as a young man, he, I suppose, was exposed to some various ideas, and he got in a place of the controversy kind of was rolling in his mind, and he had some questions. And he went to Brother Salmons at the time and asked him something to the effect of, you know, help me, give me some insight. And Brother Salmons was a man who kind of cut down to the chase pretty quick. He didn't try to get too high and lofty with his advice. And he told Brother Fuller, he said, you go back and get the Bible, start reading Genesis. And he said, you read it till you believe it. And that was his advice. Have you ever thought about how much controversy could be avoided and how much confusion in our minds could be avoided if we would just believe God. If we would believe God based on not only His Word, but I'm convinced God inspires His Word to our heart that we might believe His Word. In other words, He doesn't just throw the book out and say, all right, that's it. But inspiration is in the book. The Holy Spirit anoints the book. The Holy Spirit teaches and gives light concerning what the book has to say. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we all, meaning mankind, could just believe the book? Go back to the beginning and say, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God saw some things to be done. I don't know why. I'm not sure exactly other than speaking it. And that's all He had to do. I don't know all of God's reasoning. I don't know all of the planning and thinking in His mind that He formulated it all. But in the beginning, God had a desire. God had a plan. And God wanted to do something, and God did it. I believe that tonight. And in the beginning was God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Again, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what it looked like, but it was dark, I know that much. And only God could penetrate that darkness. There was no intelligent being, it seems like, at this point. It seemed like it was maybe a mass, maybe a gaseous, I don't know what it was. It's not really important, except to say there was no living beings there. And God, in His infinite glory and the light that He was, moved upon that. And His desire became reality. His Word became real. The things that He spoke came into being. Who did He speak it to? Who did He say, let there be light? And did light come, or did earth come, or did form come out of some hidden closet somewhere? I don't think it's really that way, but it just had to appear. It could not resist this authority. Okay? It's important to us, at least to me, to realize this authority. We spoke a little bit about power this morning. The power of God, the authority, the essential ingredient of God, the energy of God, and however He wanted to do it, He could do it just that way. And He began to look and penetrate the darkness. And I don't know. And the Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit, moved upon the face of the waters. Again, there seemed to be waters at this point in time. Again, it's not for us to understand this or know exactly the geography and the scheme of it all. But the point is that we believe God and recognize where there was darkness and nothing, God began to work in something beautiful, wonderful, mysterious, something powerful began to take place. Life, form, purpose, direction, beauty, all these things became evident when God began to work. And He tells us He's still the same. And He never changes. Then it makes me think, as I look on Him and think about what He said here, I can trust Him. I can look to Him for those dark, void, miry places or confused places in my mind and in my life. Places that to me are as misunderstood perhaps as me in the beginning. How God did all of this. Other than speak it, I have no answer for you. I have no answers for the things that come against me sometime or you. But I know this one who brought light and form and direction and hope out of chaos and nothingness can also speak into my heart and into your heart. And where there is no light, where it just seems like I'm butting my head against a wall. There is a God in heaven who can speak in those places that seems to you and me so dark. I praise God for that tonight. Third verse, and God said, who could stop me? Could you have? Could I have? Could the darkness prevent the light from shining at this point? Think about it. You're out in a dark world or you're in a dark room and you don't know exactly where to go. You don't know what's around you. You need a flashlight, need a light bulb of some kind. They got these little hand crank flashlights now, you know. You hadn't got that either. You ain't got anything. I know what I'll do. I'll just say, let there be light. That'd be plumb silly, wouldn't it? But that's exactly what God did. He said, let there be light. And there was. Nothing could stop it. I don't understand that kind of power altogether, do you? It's too marvelous for me, one writer said. It's too great and too powerful for me. I am too simple to understand that. But God said, where there was total darkness and the earth was out form and there was voids there, and He said, let there be light. And was it the light of the sun? Was it the light of God? It was light came on the scene at that point. I'm so thankful to know Him, and I'm glad I can believe Him. And one reason I can believe Him, the Bible, yes, but it really goes in my life a little more personal than just the Bible. It goes into my life and perhaps yours because the Lord came to me and revealed Himself to me. The Bible of itself, please don't misunderstand me. I don't discount it one iota. But without God, it's a book. He brought the words and the meanings and the promises and the correction and the warnings. He brought them to life in the darkness of me, where I was confused and an unbeliever and questioning and vain and a sinner and quite a bad sinner, you might say. In the darkness right there, some way, somehow, through the miraculous love of God, He said, let there be light, and things begin to fall into place for me. I wasn't saved immediately. But the darkness took on a twilight, if you will. It took on I got up this morning before daylight, and there's a little morning there at time when there's just a little light coming maybe from the east or something like that. And you look and all of a sudden the trees start kind of shaping out. And you can see the outline and then maybe that white road out in front of me. I can look and you can see the light of that white road out there, the light hitting it. It's kind of that way with me. The Lord began to take His word that I heard preached, that I had read as a child, and it began to fall in a place and apply itself to me. Then it was no longer Brother Carver or Brother Clifford or Brother whoever or Sister whoever, but it was God making the word come alive and show me my needs, show me the hope He had for me, and that I could be saved. I'm glad God still shines in dark places. I don't know how He did it. I don't know how God, don't even know where He was at the time He did it. I mean, He was everywhere. Was He in heaven? Was He? He was. He was a being, a living being. And He said, let there be. Over in Isaiah now, the 9th chapter, I believe Zechariah quotes this also concerning the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus. A lot of time had transpired between let there be light in the time of Isaiah. You think that with all the opportunities man had, we would have been pretty enlightened by then. But you know, darkness was still upon the face of the earth. So a prophecy went forth, and just one verse here. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. There's certain places that I've been, you've never been. There's places that you've been that I've never been. But every one of us have been in this land of darkness. Every one of us has been in the land where the shadow of death, we might say. Every one of us has had our dwelling in a place that was spiritually dark. In our ignorance, we served ourselves. In our pride, we served ourselves. In our own fleshly desires, we reached out for things that were not satisfying, but we would crave more of it. Chaos, confusion, and darkness. He said he was going to come in a time when men's hearts would be that away, men's lives would be that away. Sixth verse, he says this, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given." Speaking of a time yet to come in Isaiah's writings, where the light that created would shine again in a most wonderful, spectacular, miraculous way. Not only to create life as we know it, mountains and hills and trees and skies and stars as we see them, but go down into the depth of death of sin. Go down into the darkness of men's hearts. Go down into the dark recesses where we cover up and hide and run from God. Reach down in those places of our own illusions and our own thinking and our own pride. Reach down into those places that we have become captured in the dungeons of sin and the dungeons of self-will. And light would shine down in those dark places through Jesus Christ. I'd like to go now to John, the first chapter. John writes this, and he refers back to Genesis. And he begins to tell how this light has come. And he tells us a little bit about the beauty of this light, the hope of this light, and what this light will do for us. If we receive this light, if we allow this light to penetrate the darkness, in the beginning, going all the way back, wherever that was, however it was, I suppose it's the creation he's speaking of because God always has been. We know he's eternal without beginning, without end. Jesus Christ without beginning, without end. So probably he's speaking about the creation. In the beginning, when there was nothing else, the form, the void, the darkness, there was something. There was the Word of God. Capitalized here, probably as we read on, God said in Genesis, "Let us make man in our own image." There was with God the Trinity, however we may want to term that. God said in Genesis, "Let us make man in our own image." There was with God the Trinity, however we may want to term that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Inseparable, inseparable. The authority that's in God was in the Word. And when the Word spoke, it was God speaking. And when God spoke and the Word spoke, things happened. Today, I'm glad the Word of God still speaks to us. And we're going to find out how wonderful it is, in part, because the story can never be told, fully told. The same was in the beginning with God. This creative force, the authority of God, the Word of God, this the Spirit of God, it was there. And I believe Jesus said of Himself, before Abraham was, I am. I existed. You know what He was saying? I'm God. Because you remember what Moses asked? Who shall I say sent me? You tell them, I am. I am that I am. Self-existent, exalted one, the Holy One. Owing my being to no man, to no other power, I am sufficient of myself. You tell them, Moses, I am that I am, and I've sent you. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him, this Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I thank God tonight that He was willing to come down to a very dark place. And all His majesty, all His power, all His authority, everything that He is, He was willing to come down to a very dark place. I think I could probably venture to say safely that the majority of us do not enjoy pitch dark, almost total darkness. Probably all of us, for various reasons, are just a little bit uncomfortable in total or near total darkness. For various reasons, we keep a night light on in the house. Some people, we have one, have a night light. Just various reasons. People do not, as a whole, enjoy total darkness. And the rays of sunlight, when you're sick, bring hope. So anyway, the light that is in God, the life that is in God, it shined into darkness. What a beautiful visitation. Thank God for that visitation. Can you imagine where you and me would be tonight if He had said, that's dark. I don't like it. There's creepy crawlers down there. There's people that hate me and are sneaking around and want to kill me. Have you ever been out in the dark in the woods? Have you ever felt your imagination kind of quicken? What if the Lord had subjected Himself to all those things that you and me? Aren't you glad God is greater than we are? Aren't you glad that He is more in everything than we are? And this darkness that was pervading the earth, and in that sense still is, the Lord said, I can speak. And those that receive it, I'm going to bring them light. Said the darkness comprehended it not. Some translation said the darkness prevented it not. I don't find that totally substantiated in studying. I'm not going to say that's not true or not correct translation. But it seems like this that we read here seems to be a little more accurate. The darkness didn't comprehend what was happening. It didn't understand the magnitude of the hope being set before it. This awesome majesty that said, let there be, visited us through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God, made flesh. To us a son is given, a child is born. Light breaks at last. The angels rejoiced. A babe was born. He grew to be a man and became our salvation. And the darkness didn't understand the magnitude of what God had done. Help us tonight, Lord, to understand what God has done for us. In the darkness of sin, light came down. In the darkness of yours or my calamities of life, light has come down. In the darkness of those places of our fears and our disappointments, our personalities, those places of our ignorance, light has come down. Lord, help us tonight. Oh, help me, Lord, to comprehend that light, see that light, understand that light, and walk in that light, take encouragement from that light, be joyful in that light, rise up above doubts and strifes and those things that would bind us to this earth, because light has come now. I don't want to be counted as one that didn't comprehend it, but I want to receive it. There was a man sent from John, God, whose name was John. He was not the light, the 8th verse said, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that light he speaks of here was the true light. And I don't understand this verse as far as how God accomplishes it in my human thinking. Just like I don't understand how God spoke to nothing and there was something. I don't understand that, except He's God. And that's kind of hard for me to understand. Even in our day of almost instant communication, think about it. This light is of such a form, fashion, that's not the real words I want. It's able to communicate without words. It's able to communicate without other people being present. It's able to go into the spirit and the subconscious, if you will, of a man and tell him there's a God. Tell him there is a Creator. And he said he lights every word, every one. And he was in the world. This world, this light did not just come in as a vapor, as a someone that would hover over somewhere as a cloud. But this light came into the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. We find one of the apostles preaching, I believe, in Pentecost, and after Pentecost, and said, had they had known it, who he was, they wouldn't have crucified. Crucify him. Crucify the Lord of glory. So the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came, this light, this life-giving light, or this life that gave life, however we may think of it, and was rejected. Now, you and me that are saved, we think that's rather foolish, don't we? Have you ever rejected God before you were saved? Have you ever looked on Him and said, I don't want that? There's a world out there that's saying the same thing again. Lord, help us to be all we can. Help us to be the John the Baptist. Help us to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. May our prayer closets be echoing the prayer that this light would reveal itself to the lost. The world, it came into his own, and his own received him not. Then this little caveat, this little special word here in the 12th verse, but, however, in the spite of the rejection, in spite of the ignorance, in spite of that, there were some. There were some who wouldn't go away at the hard sayings. There were some who recognized their sinful condition and didn't excuse it, but confessed it. There were some who, in spite of the darkness, saw the ray of hope of the light breaking through the shadows of the trees around them and cried out, more light, more help. They ran, they reached out and said, Lord, help my unbelief. I want to understand this because I see something better than what I have. I see something better than my way, my ingenuity, my charisma, my power, my money, my hope. There were some who heard enough that it made their spiritual ears pick up. God responded forcibly to those people. With his love, his power, his authority, they gained his attention. He said, and to this man will I look. And I believe one part of that is to him that trembleth at my word. He that shows a respect and an honor to me and to my word, this word that created, this word that had the power to say, let there be, this Son of God who came down, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And to those who had respect to that, those who even in our ignorance and even sometimes in our disbelief and in our sins, yet we heard this voice giving us a hope and giving us light, and we some way turned our attentions to it. I cannot explain all of that. But some way in our hunger, in our desire for release, and in a degree of honesty with ourselves, I need help. I need help. And we looked around us, and there was that light breaking. You have your own way of looking at it, I know. And there was something in us. The sunflower, you follow a sunflower all day. And in the morning, it starts turning its head toward the east. And it'll follow that sun all the way. Let's see, this, it comes up over here then. And it'll follow that sun across the southern hemisphere, southern horizon, southeast, southwest. And finally, it follows that light, sensitive to the light. But some people heard that voice, and it excited hope in them. It excited the thought of we can obtain mercy. There's power in that light. There's power in that word, power in that voice. And as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the authority, the privilege to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. I'm so thankful tonight for that light. Where would you and me be without that light? Where would we be if we responded not to that light? Where would we be if someone had not have told us about that light? Where would we be without that light breaking? When God said, let there be, no force could withhold it. I am convinced. Let me say this the way I'm thinking it now. I know that sinners can harden their heart. I don't question that. But I don't believe in the beginning there is a sinner who can stop the light of the Word of God from coming to them. Because he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I know they can harden. People can harden to the point that God cannot. But I believe tonight that that word, that spirit, that light reaches down, and no power on earth can prevent a man or a woman from being convicted. Cannot prevent a man or a woman to see that glimmer, that ray of hope. And to those who respond to that, and I think about us tonight, in those places in our life where we get less than happy, that we get less than strong, less than brave in. Those places that we don't like ourselves, I find if that light, if we'll turn toward it, or reach out, again, this is my phraseology, if we reach out to it, embrace it, the power that regenerated us has the same authority to keep us. No man can pluck them from my Father's hand. That same power has the authority to come in and strengthen us when we become so weak and so terrified, so upset so distraught, so discouraged, that same light has the same power. Folks, it went into the abject darkness of our life. Can it not go into our weakness now, who as we walk in the light? Should we not then be even more receptive to the light because we know now what it did? We know what the Word did in the beginning. I was that form out there. I was that form that was lost in no direction and no hope, and that Word and that light shone on me. Now I'm in the light. Should it not even have more attraction to us? More power? Can we not believe it more tonight? I hope I can. I hope we can. But as many as received Him, to them gave He authority and power, the right, the privilege to become sons of God. Not even to the degree He's not ashamed to call us brethren, Paul said. Even to them that believe, trust, accept, believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of God, but of God. Thank the Lord. God wants to cause His light, and He does, to shine in us. He wants His Word to speak to us. And that light became us, and it became, that life became the light of man. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Absolutely, I put that word in there, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the 16th verse, now listen to this. Again, think back on the creative power of God for a moment. How much authority did it take? How much power did it take for out of nothing to create everything? He had no raw materials, evidently. He didn't have any dirt. Didn't have any light. So he couldn't see unless he could see beyond the darkness. Think about that a moment. And of His fullness, listen to this, have all we received in grace for grace. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? The fullness of God? Wow. I can't even explain it to myself. How am I going to preach it to someone? How are we ever going to describe the greatness and the grandeur and the majesty of God? We'll stumble at words. Yet John wrote, one of the apostles wrote, of that very fullness that we can't explain, we have all received it. It's ours. So then when I need help, grace. I used up all the grace on that one. Abounding grace. Abundant grace. Overflowing grace. Grace for grace. Grace on top of grace. That's not something we use indiscriminately. It's not something that we say, well, I'm going to do what I want because God... No, that's not what He's talking about. I believe He's speaking about in the darkness of the surroundings, in the pitfalls of life, in the discouragements of life, the hardships, the things that we don't understand, the persecution, the fear, whatever we may want to think. There's an abundant supply of grace. Never ending. From this one who said, let there be. Who one said, let there be light, and there was light of His fullness now. So we get up tomorrow, and we're hit with something that, oh, we didn't expect that. Grace for grace. Travel along tomorrow pretty good. Everything seems to be going real well. Then at 10:07 a.m., or maybe 1:15 p.m., the hammer falls. Something happens. You find out something. Or the devil just comes in, as Brother Carl talks about, got in the car with him. grace for grace. Right there. The power of the Godhead, right there. I'm thankful tonight for the love of God, the power of God, the authority of God, how light came down in the darkness, the Word came down in the darkness and said, let there be. I believe tonight, just as He spoke to the troubled sea and there was a calm, I believe tonight in the troubles of our life, the temptations of our life. I've got to believe this, saints. I can't question it. I really can't. I cannot say otherwise and be true to God and true to my own soul and stay encouraged. I've got to believe this. He is able to say to me, peace, be still. I believe when the storm is raging and I am at my terrified worst, I've got to believe He's able to say to me, peace, be still. And then I look and I say, I know He can do it because He's done it before. And look at all around me. God did it all. He didn't even ask me how. He just did it. So we've all now tonight who believe on Him have received the privilege of being called the sons of God. Power, the right. And to those, He has given every one of us multiplied grace. Thank God tonight.